Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey. I am the founder of Diamonds in the Rough, founder and president, and I am here to just say God bless you. Thank you for tuning back in. We are standing firm on the promises of God. We celebrated 21 years of Diamonds in the Rough existing. And so on tonight, this is our last show of 2022. And I have two wonderful young men that are coming on tonight. So you're going to be pleased. And it's going to be a great show. So I do have to get into the preliminary stuff first. I do just want to say thank you, Jesus. The shot that I took for the flu just laid me out on Friday. My temperature was 105 plus. So I thank God that I am much better. So in any case, I do have two winners for the year 2022 for having promoted the show, told people that they were coming on as a guest, and just for being two people that cooperated, did what they needed to do outside of what I was doing, and, just made their show a success. And that was Tony Bird and King Mafioso. So I will be reaching out to them. They were in the lead for quite some time, and they stayed in the lead. So I want to thank them if they're tuning in. If they're not, I will be reaching out to them. So we're going to be starting all over again next year. So let's see what happens. But tonight's show, we're talking about I want to do blank better in 2023. What is it that you want to change for the better in 2023? You know, the new year is sliding in. And so we need to be thinking about how we can be making better moves and whatever that looks like in your life. So in any case, I'm going to start with the background of the show in case people have never listened to this show before. I've been doing it 12 and a half years, over 400 guests, over 200 episodes, reaching over 10,000 in listenership here in the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, and Malaysia, Japan, and Dominican Republic. So I want to say hello to everybody that is listening in those countries or maybe even other countries. Thank you so much for being supportive for Talk to Me. And as far as the names of people who've graced this show, if there's time, I will do that at the very, very end. I do want to get into announcements for people who have had birthdays since the last broadcast and will be having birthdays up until the end of the year. I want to say happy birthday to Aunt Jo, Josephine Boykin, Lucinda Moore, Brandon Abraham, my cousin Louis Humphrey III, Pastor Anthony Bennett, Ernest Brown, my cousin Tina Rush, Chrissy Garnett, Daryl DeCausey Sr., my cousin Risa Humphrey, Sam Battle, Denise Hanks, Anthony Jordan, Rosalind Daniels, my aunt, Kristen, my cousin, but his name is Abdul Mumin Shabazz. I call him Kristen. And Tony Bird, her birthday's coming up, one of the winners. Helen Terry, Cisco Soares, and my cousin Diane Barrington. And I just want to say my condolences go out once again to Diane and all of my family of the loss of her mother, my aunt, great aunt Carolyn Gray. She was originally from somewhere down south. I just can't remember right now. But I do know she resided in Stamford, Connecticut with my Uncle Buster for many, many, many years. So I wasn't able to make the funeral, but I know my heart was with them. And Friday I was laid out in the bed all day and night. But I just want to say, much love to my family. Also, rest in heaven, Grandma Humphrey, whose birthday would have been Christmas. And she is no longer with us, but she is still in my heart. Buster was her cousin. And I love her very much. That was my father's mother. Anyone else that may have lost someone since I last did this show, my condolences go out to you. God bless you. And, like they say, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I pray that, your heart heals during this holiday season and that you can still continue to have a beautiful holiday. If you'd like to give monetarily to this radio show or Diamonds in the Rough or myself, you could do that by going to PayPal, CLH28, my Cash App, which is the $DITR, or Venmo, which is Cherie-Humphrey. Or you could buy my art, you can buy my books, plenty of choices to choose from. They're on my website, so just text me, inbox me, or DM me of a selection that you might want or selections. If you would like a commercial played or your music played on my radio show, if you'd like to book your interview on this show, a personal interview or a business interview, if you would like a personal write-up or a business write-up, your article would go on my page. So in any case, you can have that done. If you'd like to book me as a spoken word artist, MC, mistress of ceremony, or to minister, et cetera, et cetera. I'm a woman of many trades. So call me up, Let me know what it is that you might be seeking, and I'll let you know if I can do it or not. And we could talk then. If you want a book written and you don't know how to do it, I can be a consultant and guide you through that process. So in any case, God bless everybody. I'm going to go to a very short break, and then I'm going to bring my first caller in. That was I Can Hardly Wait Till Christmas by the OJs. You are listening to Talk to Me Radio, and I am Cherie Humphrey. I'm going to plug the first caller in right now. Hello?
Hello,
hello. Hi, how you doing, Nick?
Hey, how you doing, Cherie? Happy holidays to you.
Thank you so much. I am doing much better. Everyone, this is Nick Kelly. He is a comedian, and it's just a pleasure to have you come on. I met you at a comedy show that actually Jackson gave at the BK a few months ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And you did a great job. You really did. And you know, you had a lot of comedians that were on the same lineup as you, and y'all all just ripped it. It was totally hilarious. So
it was a great
tell
night.
Me,
it was definitely a
yeah,
great
it
night
was.
Comedy.
And it was packed that night. It was really packed, and everybody had a great time. Tell me a little bit about, you know, being a comedian, you know, what is it that compelled you to get into this line of work?
Well, that's a really good question. Yeah, basically, I say from the get-go, I hear a lot of people always tell me, you're funny. You know, you're funny a lot growing up, or you should do comedy. And when I was probably 18, 19, I wanted to, but I was too scared to go up there by myself. So I started doing music instead. I started a band. And I did that for about 14 years. And, yeah, I was doing music for some time. I got pretty successful in the industry. I played Warped Tour several times. I was signed a couple times in two different bands, and that was great. But it wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to tell jokes. Unfortunately, at the time during that decade and a half, I was under the influence a lot. So when I cleaned my act up, I finally decided, oh, you know what? I don't think I'm scared anymore.
Yeah, right.
Go up there and tell jokes. So I moved. Yeah. I moved my stuff from Chicago all the way to Connecticut. And now
we're out here. Right. Wow, yep. Isn't that something?
You moved
quite far away. And so how has it been since you've been out here, being that far?
Oh, I love it out here. You know, it's kind of funny doing Connecticut compared to the rest of the Northeast, because I'll do the rest of the Northeast and it'll feel like a Netflix special sometimes. I'll get like applauses and claps or I'm not used to it, but Connecticut, they hold your feet to the fire. You know, you got to make them laugh.
Yes.
So I like being out here. I like competing with the best of the best, and I like trying to perform for people that are really going to hold my feet to the fire.
Right. And, you know, we're close to New York, and so, you know, we are very, very, I would say, hard. But once you get us, you got us for life. You know, we're like loyal.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, support you in whatever it is you do, you know, if we really like what you're doing. And it kind of reminds me of the Apollo, you know. They're going to boo regardless. So you're going to have to get over the boos and keep their attention. Now, how do you keep people's attention when you feel a vibe that they're not feeling?
You ever been familiar with the common phrase, like gift of gab? You know, some people just have that gift of gab. You know, and of course, the longer you live, too, I also find that the more experiences I've lived, the more words I have to say based on the more experiences I've been through. So depending on that, it's really minimal things that you can say to me that I'm not going to think of something to say back at you. So it's, you know, but it's got to be not scared. It's okay to be nervous, but don't be scared. You should be confident in your ability to tell jokes or go up there and perform. I'm confident in my ability, and I just don't take any crap from anybody. So, you know, there's always challenges doing that and hecklers and stuff. You just got to be ready, and the better ones tend to be, and that's how that works.
And do you think that I hear what you said, you had to clean your act up and all of that. So do you think something just clicked within you, or you just was like, I don't care anymore, as far as I don't care if I get booed, I don't care if they like me. You just was like, I'm doing it regardless.
What was that for you? It was when I got off of drugs, and I was in and out of the hospital at first with withdrawals a lot, with 103, 104 degree fever for the first couple of months. And fortunately, as a side note, I did this just months before COVID hit. So thank God I wasn't in the hospital being suspected of having COVID and going through all that rigmarole. So that was good.
Absolutely.
But other than that, after feeling all that pain and everything I had to go through every day, just the constant pain and headaches and wanting to throw up and all that stuff, I'm like, I wasn't scared of being judged anymore by people. You know, I've been through so much suffering and pain physically that I was like, I was willing to let that go pretty easy.
Right, right. I hear you because sometimes a near-death experience can help you get over some hurdles that you didn't even know you was getting over.
Yes, exactly.
You know, that is true.
You got to give it to God. That's pretty much it.
Yes.
Give it to God.
Absolutely.
That's really where a lot of my strength lies, too, is in him. So it makes it a lot easier for me to go up there knowing that, you know, that he's got my back. So I don't really feel so alone up there.
Right. And that gets me to the topic of tonight. I want to do blank better in 2023. What is it that you want to change and do better?
I would like to change my approach of how I tackle things, I guess. And so many, maybe specifically slow down a little bit. Don't go too fast. That's
right.
That'd be the biggest thing, I think, right now. Because, you know, like sometimes you go fast. You want to accomplish things. You want to do something. You start taking on everything. And yeah, you accomplish a lot. And pretty soon that becomes too much to chew. And you've been off more than you can chew. You got to take a couple step back. You got to wait. You got to chew it before you can keep going again. And I keep running into that wall. Like you know, like an Alzheimer's patient, I feel like I am. Kind of just, I keep doing the same thing over and over again. I'd like to remind myself to just pace myself and not, you know, go too far. Because, you know, as you get older, you start to think, I don't know if this is that case for you or any of the listeners out there, but I sometimes feel like, oh, I'm this age now and I haven't accomplished as much as I would like to, or I'm not as successful as I would like to be at this age. So you just kind of keep taking on projects, taking on things, trying to accelerate that. But what you're doing is you're just wearing yourself down to where you're going to have to stop inevitably at some point anyway. It'd be better to just be smooth and just take your time. That's the big thing I wanted to do.
I can relate to you 100%. I definitely can relate to you because, you know, we all have goals when we're young. And, you know, well, at least we should. And things we want to look forward to and what we think in our mind is going to happen. You know, just like I thought I was going to get one of them dope 1970s vans with the carpet inside and everything when I was 16. Didn't happen. I had my grandmother's little beat up Ford when I got out of college to drive around sometime when she allowed me until it broke down. So in my mind, I was on a whole nother page, and it's just like with different aspirations, you know, and it says be anxious for nothing in the Bible. It tells you be anxious for nothing.
Yeah.
So,
That's
you
a
know,
good point.
We do get like that. We get anxious. We want to hurry up. We want to, you know, try to get to the finish line quickly, you know, and then, like you said, you wear yourself out or you hit a brick wall, you come to a glass ceiling, and you're going to have to sit down at some point and regroup, you know, and you made an awesome point. So what do you do now? How do you keep a steady, like, healthy pace?
In reference to, I guess, you know, the first things first is you got to pray on it. And you gotta really if anything, even if you don't believe in God, meditate on it, you know, and try to really set it yourself. Get your approach together where you're about to launch yourself, and just remember, you gotta be cognizant of the speed that you're about to go, and just know that you know there's only so many hours in a day. Just accomplish this and then get your rest, and the next day accomplish this and get your rest. But it comes to centering yourself. You know, whether you know, it doesn't matter. You could be a Christian, you could be an atheist, you could be anything. As long as you meditate or pray on it and get back to center, then it's easy to remind yourself, easier to remind yourself that, hey, slow down. It's not, you know, not everything needs to happen this fast. You know, you eat too much too fast, you're going to get a
exactly.
And it's easier to have that presence of mind when you've cleared your head completely. You know, and you gotten all those other worries and stuff out of your head, and just focus.
It's like when your mom goes to the grocery store and immediately you see all the snacks she bought, and you don't want to pace yourself. You want to bite out of everything she bought.
Oh yeah.
And you don't care if it's gonna lead to a behind whooping or not. And it's just like with us as when we're adults. We the only ones going to be having to pay for what we're doing because we know we're wearing ourselves out. We just don't know how to stop. And sometimes God will sit you down and he will make you stop so you can take a look at what's really important, or you could, you know, tweak this or tweak that, or you could, you know, get some education here or whatever it is, the training. So I believe that is really real. I know I did it. I made a lot of mistakes, even though I had a lot of accomplishments. But I wore myself thin and didn't take care of my health. but was concerned about everybody else being healthy mentally and everything else, but wasn't doing it for me, far as my physical body. So
yeah,
he sat me down. You know, it was like, okay, you don't know when to stop. I'm going to show you how to stop.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly how that happened.
Yep.
you're not listening. You're not paying attention. You're going off in your own little world, and you're doing your thing. And before you know it, it smacks you. It's going to every
yes.
time. Everything in moderation, right? Everything in moderation.
Right.
Even love.
Balance.
Even love can kill you.
Balance. Yep, absolutely.
So
how do does your family, you know, how are they able to adapt to your schedule of your, you know, the career you have since you've been in Connecticut?
Well, I mean, my mom misses me a lot. dropping subtle hints to like come back to Chicago. She was like, if you wanted to come move back in with me or something like that, it'd be great. But she's always trying to send some hints. She's very Italian.
Okay.
Very large Italian and black family. So a lot of people want me to come home.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, they're proud. And they just kind of like adjusted other than missing me a lot. Because all my family is literally in Chicago or Georgia. I'm the only one out here. As far as them adjusting, I think – I feel like my sister made an easy adjustment just because we always feud and bicker back and forth. So she's just like, whatever, just go across the country. At least I don't have to speak to you.
But will you have a chance to see any of them? Will you have a chance to see any of them?
I'm going to Chicago this Friday. I'm going to be there for 10 days.
Oh, okay, good, good.
Yeah, I go out there about 3-4 times a year.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So one or the other. Either Chicago or Atlanta. So one of the two. I'm there one of those two places 4 times a year.
Okay, I see. Okay. And so when you factor in having to be married, or if that's even on the agenda, or maybe you already are married, how do you work your schedule in and still be able to have that family time? Are you married?
No, I'm not married.
Do you plan on being married?
I mean, I don't plan on it, but that, you know, it's whatever God's plan is, really, because there's been a lot of things
yes.
that I haven't planned on. That, like, I didn't. If you would have told
right.
me 2 years ago that I'd be living in Connecticut, I would have laughed at you. So I mean, I don't plan on getting married, but like that's not to say that it won't happen. Who knows what he has in
right.
store for me?
Right.
No, I don't, to answer your question, I don't know how I would do it. I'm assuming I would have something already prearranged. I'm assuming I'm not getting married to someone without dating them first, so I'm assuming this is something that's going to be talked about throughout the whole dating relationship.
Right.
But I that's a really good question. I don't
yeah,
quite
because,
know how I would do it. Go ahead.
You know, when you're in entertainment, you have unusual schedules. And
yeah.
unusual, you know, I'm totally in a creative mind. Like,
yeah.
that's just who I am. And you know, even I researched a study, and it shows that creative people are night owls. They have a tendency to flourish or do things at night, whereas other people are winding down, and we're just, like, getting the juices flowing. So,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah.
you have to do shows at night. You know, so how do you
yeah.
think that might, you know, how you think you might finagle that?
Well, that's a really good question. Well, if I'm thinking about it all encompassingly, it's really good. I would think that, well, let me start with this. If I'm the creative type as well, and I'm seeing somebody, they're obviously going to be dating me for me. Now, the thing about me,
right.
you asked me earlier, like, why comedy? Why did I decide to go up there? I mean, because a large part of that is not I want to be a comedian. It's more that I just am a comedian. This is, like, the only
yes.
thing that kind of fits me. It's not like I
right.
I do want to be this, but it's not as much that as I am this. So, you know, knowing that, if she knows who I am as a comedian, as just a funny guy, as a guy who likes to make jokes or likes to make people smile, I feel like she would be able to understand, you know, what's, you know, that I have this career and that I have to go do this and stuff, and we'd kind of be able to, you know, jointly figure it out in a way, because, I mean, like I said, she'd be dating me for a while before I proposed, I would imagine, right? You know, she should get the gist of like who I am and what I do,
right?
Like, or she should leave immediately, if not sooner. I mean, yeah, I would probably just have to talk about it, banging out back and forth. But there's a will, there's a way, and you could always figure it out.
Right.
But once again, you just gotta give that to God. You know, it's all in His plan.
Yes. 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 And that's true. It is all in His plan. You know, like they say, you know, you want to make God laugh, you know, make your own plans, because it's so true, you know. And I believe that there's certain things that you are being set up for. Like when you were doing the other profession, that was like laying the foundation for you to get the skills of being in front of people without having, you know, getting through your fear of you know, and I think
that was
the way he was easing you in, so that once that was over, now you know, I've been in front of the stage before, I've been on the stage before, this is who I am, you know what I mean? So you had that training already.
Yeah, exactly.
And what do you believe that you'll see yourself like in the next 3 years?
Oh, I hope on Netflix.
Okay.
Wait. I'd like to be on Netflix. I mean, that now I feel like I'm crossing back into my what I want to change, and I'm going back on my word though. I can't go too fast, but I'd like to be on Netflix in 3 years.
Okay.
I'd like to at least be close to headlining, if anything.
Right. Okay.
You know,
all right.
Headlining gigs in 3 years, that would be great.
I'm looking forward to it.
You know, I'm looking forward to coming back to Bridgeport and bothering all you guys again. I can't wait.
Okay. Yeah. Come back and bother us.
I have to. I know. I just. Like,
okay.
I guess doing all this stuff before when I was a singer made it. You know, I told that joke that night in Bridgeport about how I was a drug addict for like 14 years, and I've been clean for almost three, and then I started crying a little bit or whatever, and then I got the audience back by saying, but I'm not crying because of that. I'm crying because I miss drugs, and you know, drugs would have made all you guys really easy to deal with. And that's like one of those. It's funny, but it's kind of half true. I mean, I did get a lot of practice being on stage and being in front of people, but drugs made that way easier. So, I mean, like, you had to overcome that whole strength.
Of course.
Like getting caught on, like in public with in your underwear, almost is that feeling the first time you go on. Without, you know, being sober, you're like, oh, wow, this is really, I'm about to do this right now.
This is different. I can do it now. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no numbing. It's 100% of the effect, 100% of the fear right up in your face. But once you do it, you know, it's like riding a bike.
Yep. And I agree with you. You're not the only one, because you're really not, you know, and I'm glad to say that I don't have to do that anymore. And, you know, when I was performing a lot doing acting, you know, I was getting twisted before I get up on the stage, you know.
Yeah.
And it came a point in time that, you know, I was told by the director, you better not be drinking no Hennessy before you get on this stage, Sheree. We are in the church. And so I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, because I would be praying and have the Bible with my bottle of Hennessy backstage in my dressing room on my knees. I mean, but that's how I was able to get through it at that time. I was like, what, 29, 30, you know?
Yeah.
But then came a point in time where I tried it. I was in the church for the first time acting. So when I was able to get over that, and I did an excellent job with no Hennessy.
Yeah.
I was straight. So I didn't need to do that anymore, you know.
Yeah, no.
So I get it. I get it, you know. But tell us where people can, you know, connect with you or see where you're going to be showing at or anything like that.
Well, you can find me on Instagram at The Real Nick Kelly. That, you know, it's all lowercase, The Real Nick Kelly. And then obviously if you find me on Facebook, I'll add you. It's Nick Kelly, and it should be the same picture as my Instagram. If you find me on there, I'll add anybody who wants to. And I'll scroll through all that wall and all that whole timeline of useless posts that you all have to post. I don't care. I'll read it all.
Okay. Okay. Well, it was so good to have you on, Nick, and I know I'll be seeing you around soon, and you have a blessed holiday.
You too, and Happy New Year to you, Cherie. I'll talk to you very soon.
Okay, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was Nick Kelly, and we have my second caller who's called in. I'm just going to ask them to be patient. I'm going to read some scripture right now. Not too much because I do need to go to another music break. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And even though he may not, I'm saying this out of my mouth right now, even though it may not look like to us that he is there, because nothing is happening yet that we ask for, I am a witness because I can be very impatient myself too. So I have to remind myself as well that he's here. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And sometimes change is frightening. It's a little scary because you're talking about the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. But if we can take that one step in front of the other, if you saw the Christmas movie with Mr. Winter, he said, take one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. And then you just keep going. And it's like, wow, I did that. You know, before you know it, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentarily affliction, is preparing for us an eternal weight. Not done. I can flip this page, of eternal weight, of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so I'm going to stop with the scriptures right there. You know, we do it all the time. We trust in things that we don't see. When you work in a job, you trust that you're going to get that paycheck. And I've been in situations where the boss didn't put the money in the account, and that paycheck couldn't be cash. So, you know, we trust in a lot of different things that we don't see. So, you know, if we could try and practice, you know, we'll get better and better. And that's for me, too. You know, your faith grows. So I do want to just say quickly, if you would like to support this show, Diamonds in the Rough, or myself, you can do that by going to PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo. You can buy my art and books. You can book your show or your write-up as an article, et cetera, et cetera. So go to the show page. My website is up there where you can find the art and the books. You got to scroll through the pages till you get to the right one. So I'm going to go to a very short break, musical break, and then I'm going to have my second caller be clicked in. This is Anthony Hems. What do the lonely do at Christmas? Anthony Hamilton, what do the lonely do at Christmas? I'm going to plug my second caller in right now. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Nick.
Sheree!
How you doing?
My girl!
How you doing?
Oh, this is going to be good, Sheree.
Okay.
Oh, how are you?
I'm fine. Everybody, this is Nick Agneto. He was my former missions leader when I went to Uganda, Africa with seven other ladies and Nick. And it was a very, very unique time.
Unique to say the least. Did you hear what Sheree just said? She said it was a bunch of women and myself. Wait, I asked guys personally. I said, guys, you got to step up. I need some men on this trip, please. I need some. But God didn't have that. That wasn't the plan.
No,
that
it wasn't.
That wasn't the plan for the trip. You know, and maybe he was preparing me. I don't know, because he knew that
right.
I was going to have three daughters.
Exactly. Never know, it could be.
I said, my God, I am flying to Uganda, and I have a team of women. How am I supposed to deal with women problems or issues or, like, girls coming to, you know, you guys came to me with some heavy things.
When I look back, I said, you know what? You really, really had to be a special person to deal with all eight of us.
That was one of the most memorable
amazing trips I had ever been on in all the years that I have gone and done the Lord's work. It was one of the most memorable.
Wow. Isn't that something? I've never been on a missions trip since then out of the country. And so for me, it was life-changing, something that I will never forget. I mean, it was so much miracles happening and blessings, and at the same time, hardships and crying and fights. And it was a combination of everything.
Nick, she's a witch. You got to get her out. This girl is naked in my room. You better do something about it.
I was the regulator.
I just want all the listeners to hear this. If you think that you're going on a mission trip and everything is peaches and cream, you need to rethink what you're about to do.
For real.
The Lord is going to he's going to stretch you and pull you like that man on the rack in The Princess Bride.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? wait. You know what? I know. Listen, you knew when you had me on the show it was going to be a live one, but I just have to go back to what you stated in your last when you were just talking and going through the scriptures.
Connect.
Right before you played the song by Anthony, you started singing the Heat Miser and Snow Miser song.
Yes.
That is one of my favorite Christmas claymations ever.
Yes, me too. I just watched
like
a week ago.
That is great.
I mean, it brought back so many memories. I was so happy when it came on.
Sheree, that was a really good example that you used that for. You know, it's so funny. People sometimes frown on all the other things that take place at Christmas, but we have to remember that God's in charge of all of it.
Right.
And he can use those moments to minister to somebody.
Right.
And what you stated was so true. You got to walk through that door that God opens.
Yes.
When God opens the door, that's a door that no man can shut.
Right. Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then likewise, when God closes the door, you can't open it.
That's true.
You can try. Some people will rebuttal. They'll say something like, well, no, that's not true. God will close the door, but you'll force it open because it's your human self. You have free will. You could do that. But, you know, listen, if we're being obedient and we hear the Lord and we are listening for God and we want to hear his voice and we want to know the shepherd, right? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the disobedience. I'm not talking about the rebellion. I'm talking about the people that are looking for God to do things in their life, to walk through the door, go to the right, go to the left, go straight. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely. Because I can recall going back to December 2007 time before taking the missions trip. And we had to fast for a month. I do remember that. You said, if you see anything, God shows you anything, to come to you. And at that time, I didn't understand what I was seeing. I didn't understand what God was showing me or telling me. And I was so unsure with myself and the things that he, you know, had given me. And so when I just, you know, kind of brushed it to the side. But because my mentor was very well versed in demonology, I was like immediate. I was on it. I'm like, what? Oh, no. I'm like, you know, I was very hypersensitive to it because, you know, you hear all kinds of stories about Africans do this and there's a lot of witchcraft and blah, 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 but it wasn't an African, that I was talking about. So that made it even worse. And then I'm like, seeing sugar put at my daggone my at my bed and all kind of creepy stuff. And so my way of handling it, because I'm a fighter, is to react. And my first instinct is to want to fight. And instead of just saying, let me pray about this, and that's why I said, let me come to Nick, because this is getting too far. And, you know, you need to do something, Nick, because I can't handle it. I'm going to hurt this girl in a minute.
I called some people back home. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with these girls. I don't know if I'm going to have to send anybody home. I don't know what's going to happen. I said, but the Lord's got something here, so we're just going to leave it alone. We're going to leave it alone
right.
And let God do what God's going to do. Nobody was getting hurt,
yes.
Right? There were some words that were spoken. People were kind of, you know, upset. But all, in the end, we had the victory.
Yes, we did.
All in the end, we ministered to children that had been taken from their families and abused. They were made into child soldiers. The girls were made into sex slaves. You know, we were able to really spend time with them and allow the Lord to minister to their hurts and also for them to receive forgiveness. On that trip, I don't know if you realize this, there were children. You put up on the webpage for the show, you put up a picture of the kids standing in the gazebo. Do you remember that?
Yes,
picture?
Remember? Yeah.
There were children. Yes.
I'm
go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
That was the day I remember distinctly, because I wanted to wash the feet of the women,
yes.
And you said no. I want you to go over and work with the kids' choir. And I'm like, I don't understand how I'm going to do this, because I can't speak their language. They can't speak mine. So long story short, you said God's going to speak to someone and you're going to have to minister at the crusade. And I was the first one to say, it ain't going to be me. I'm not getting in front of nobody. It ain't going to be me.
Uh-huh.
And so, and it was me, because I kept asking the girls, did God speak to you? Did God speak to you?
Yep.
And they kept saying no. And I was like, oh, my God, it is me. And so that was when my finger almost got chopped off in the door before we went over there.
Yeah, I remember.
I was in great pain. And so those kids were up there. I still got the T-shirt from that day. The kids was up there. They were so sweet. Powerful.
Yeah, Mazungu.
Young women. And women of God. It was crazy. I'm telling you, the little baby was two, nowhere to go, had her hands up in the air for prayer.
Yeah.
And then the one boy who was dumb and deaf or whatever he was so skinny. Remember him?
Yes,
and you
of course.
Kept yelling at me, telling me not to give money to people and telling me not to, you know, give food away, and I'm all off by myself. And I'm like, I can't help it. I can't help it. Look how skinny he is.
I don't know if you know this. There was a boy that I played soccer with for an entire afternoon. He wouldn't speak to me. And this boy said to me, he showed me his stomach. He had a coffee can imprinted on his stomach. That's what they branded him with. And he said,
what?
That he was 9 years old. And he said that he must have, you know, this is a very heavy topic for those of you that are listening, but this boy had killed upwards of 250 people because he was being obedient to the LRA, the Lord's Resistance Army. And this boy would not forgive himself. And I don't know if you remember this, but at that gazebo in front of the entire town, he had never spoken in front of anybody before, and he went up on the mic, and he said to the town, the Lord has shown me that I'm forgiven. And the town did into dance and praise and worship. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember doing the crusade part where the kids were singing, and then I did the ministry and for a few minutes, and then I remember you saying there's five people when the Lord is calling me to the front that you got to lay hands. And you said, if I touch you, you need to go to the front to pray and lay hands. And I was like, here we go again. Here we go again. I was like, please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. Because I was in so much pain with my finger as it was. And you picked me again. And I went up there after all of that was done and prayed. And remember I told you there was a point coming out of this person's stomach when I was praying for them. A sharp object. And I was scared to death when I felt that point started coming out that person's stomach. It was like I just dropped my hands. And the African little girl ran over there, smacked the woman on the head, and she fell out in the spirit. That's what I remember. That was like jaw-dropping.
Yes. It was a wild day.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I do remember a boy on the mic, but I don't remember what exactly happened because I might have been so in awe of everything that already had taken place, you know. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, listen, that's good. You know, I think that very important for people that are listening, if you've never taken a step out in faith, to get into the missions field, to go out, you don't have to go to Uganda. You don't have to go abroad. You could stay in the United States. And if you're in another country and you're listening, you could stay in your country. There is so much for us to do right here in our backyards. But it does take a step of faith. We do. We have to take that step of faith. And listen, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, right? This is important for us to understand. It's very, very, it's crucial. We are in a time now, people have to understand that force of faith, it can overcome every situation. The Lord depends on us to be his mouthpiece, his hands, and his feet. And there are people that are listening right now that are wondering if they should step out and get involved in a team that's going to do some outreach in their city, in a team that's going to a shelter, in a team that's going to go on a trip abroad, or maybe to another state. Maybe you're going to go to California or West Virginia or some, right? Because there's places in the United States that absolutely do need help. Maybe it's disaster relief. All one purpose of Jesus Christ, so that the people would hear the truth of the gospel that is the only thing that will set them free. I was just having a conversation with a very, very dear brother of mine, and he has been going into groups on Facebook, and I wasn't planning on talking about this, but this is such an amazing opportunity that we have. You don't even need to leave your home sometimes. What you're doing tonight, this radio show, is reaching so many people. And it's all for the glory of God. It is for him to be glorified and for his son to work on the cross, that it was not done in vain. It was a free gift of God to us that we would be saved. And so this guy that I know, amazing man of God, he goes into these groups and he ministers to these people that have anxiety and depression and fear and all this stuff. And get this, Cherie, this baffles me. The people in these groups talk about everything under the sun, even to the point of, you know, talking about suicide and talking about they're depending on psychics. They're depending on Hindu gods and goddesses and all these different religions. Mm-hmm. And they kicked him out of the group because he was talking about Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Listen, my friends and my dear sister, it is such a crucial time right now because the world needs Jesus and they need us. They need us to show Christ, because he's not coming out of the sky, right? It's not a mystical hand that gets involved in your
right.
situation. It's us. It's our
it's
love.
A person.
It's our hug.
Yes.
It's our words. It's us attesting to the truth of the word of God.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
When Pilate asked Jesus, "Why did you come?" He said to him, "To bear witness to the truth."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The reason why mm-hmm. he came was to show the truth, the capital T, on the cross.
And Amen. And you know, the difference between what we saw, we felt like little kids, because you had already said to us before we left, we're spoiled in America.
Yep. Yes.
This is certain things going to be this way, certain things going to be that way.
Yes.
I know I was disobedient to you a few times because you was telling me not to give away money. They almost turned the van over because I gave a boy a shilling. I mean,
yeah.
And I couldn't help myself. I didn't know it was going to be that reaction. But when he was pointing to his mouth that he needed something to drink or eat, I just didn't know what else to do. So,
yeah.
You know, but I didn't know it was going to be the point where they was running down the street in like a pack of 40, you know,
yes.
and banging all up against the van and hitting the walls. And you immediately said, "Sheree, what did you do?" And I'm like, "Why
it
got to be me?"
Yeah, just like the chicken parm.
But
so
we said
that was,
ourselves.
That was an inside joke, by the way, for everybody listening.
Yes.
That was an inside joke.
Exactly.
She thought she was gonna get a chicken parm like she got back in New York, but we were hours into the bush.
I kept having anxiety attacks because we didn't have no clean water. We couldn't wash up
God.
The first day. Me and Cece
yep.
was talking and running our mouth so much. By the time we got up to take a shower, there was no water left.
Did you ever watch the Princess Bride?
No, I don't think so. Maybe
so,
I did.
So it's a funny movie. There's a scene in The Princess Bride where they talk about ROUSs, rodents of unusual size.
Yeah.
And that's all I could think about while we were in Kampala. While we were in Kampala, all I could think about was that ROUS, right? He just walked out in front of us while we were sitting on the deck. And he just walked out. He looked at us all slow, took his time,
yes.
turned back and kept walking off like he was a dog. Like he was
Yes. Like a dog, yes. That oh my goodness. That was the worst part. I said, "This ain't nothing but the devil." Because I told Cece, I said, "The Lord spoke to me, fourth watch, we gotta be up at 3 AM praying." And I said, "I can't tell them. You got to be the one, because if I say it, they're not going to receive it. But if you say it, they'll do it." And one by one, until a couple weeks that went by, everybody was out there at 3 a.m. But
yes.
I remember when we first started, it was just me, Cece, and Kim. And I think it was Lisette was out there and you.
Maybe. Yep,
and I...
Yep.
And there was a big, I mean, the rat looked 3 feet long.
Oh, yeah, it was huge.
And I mean, I jumped up so high. I ain't had no back issue then. I had no cane. I jumped up so high, I almost fell off the second ledge.
Oh, my gosh. That was incredible.
Yes, about to jump off the whole building. And I was like, "You know what, that's the devil trying to distract us, so we won't want to go out there and pray." I said, "But we're
yeah.
going to do it again anyway. We just ain't doing it tonight." know, lizards walking down the hallway, you know, red ants under the bed. Oh, my goodness. It was so trying.
Yes.
And, you know, and they kept saying, Cherie, how come you keep having clean clothes? And I said, because the maid is washing my stuff. I don't know about y'all. Cherie, you got everything. You got a first aid kit. You got a nail polish kit. You got everything.
Yeah, you were tripping.
Yes, and so I said, that's because I've been paying the woman on the side. That's why she's been taking care of my clothes. But we noticed that from America, and what you said was true, we were spoiled. And you know, the children that were in the missions camp were so, their worship was like on 110. We had never seen nothing like that before. I'd never seen nothing like that before in no church I've been in. It was just a whole different level. And
do you remember what they said about the kids at the orphanage, and when the people in the town, when they needed prayer, the people in the town didn't go to the church. When the people needed prayer, they went to the orphanage.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That is incredible, incredible. And we had a chance to ride on the Nile. I mean, we were being blessed in certain, you know, throughout. But and also we were being blessed spiritually. We just didn't know it. And I remember it was about 20 pastors and apostles and bishops on the stage. Africans were coming from everywhere with a long sleeve shirt on.
That was New Year's Eve.
Yes. And it was 110 degrees, basically.
Yeah.
And
the president
we
of
were
Uganda
about to
was
die.
There.
Yes, the president of Uganda was exactly. And we were about to die because it was so daggone hot. And they were sitting out there in the burning sun for hours.
Yes.
And I it was just unbelievable. And somebody said tonight, you know, to us, the missions, people who had come from missions, your prayers, when you go back to the United States, your prayers are going to be answered. Whatever it is you're standing and agreeing for, your prayers is going to be answered.
Amen.
And for me it was, for Cece it was. I don't really remember for, you know, anybody else. I know Lisette, I know she ended up eventually getting married, right?
I believe she did, yeah.
Yep, she got married. Cece was wanting to get married with a passion. She got married. I wanted diamonds in the rough to flourish, and it did. And, you know, and it was just like a lot of stuff was happening so fast. And when you said, when we go over there, we're going to be considered Westerners. And they're not going to consider you one of them, because it was five of us who were black. And you know, all of us were light-skinned except for one.
Christine.
And you were right. Yeah, Christine, that's right. And you were right. They didn't consider us one of them, and that hurt me so bad. Like I was looking forward to, like, connecting in some kind of African way, and they didn't consider us one of them, you know?
No.
So tell me, what was it for you that changed once you got back from that particular trip?
So I could speak to that one trip. You know, it kind of, with me and ministry, it encompasses much more than just the trip to Uganda, right? Because I was I was in India and the Dominican Republic and Colombia and Mexico and not just outside of the United States, but also within the United States, traveling around and seeing places in the U.S. that I had no idea there was so much poverty. I thought that I saw poverty in the South Bronx. I thought I saw poverty in Newark, New Jersey, but I didn't see poverty until I went to some of these other places. And, you know, one of the Cherie, the thing that fuels me ever since I got saved, and when I say I got saved, I don't mean I said a prayer after a service in church. Jesus and I, we had a radical, he confronted me radically. And when I got saved, he delivered me radically from everything that I was doing in one prayer. And I never had to go to rehab. I never went through withdrawals. I never detoxed. I didn't have flashbacks. The Lord set me free, and I told him that I was his, and I wanted him to use me whatever, however he saw fit. Jesus, Holy Spirit, I'm yours. And that was it. And so coming back from Uganda and some of the other things that I've been a part of, it just fortifies in me how the Holy Spirit uses me. And this is not for me. It's not for my glory. It's not to put me on a pedestal. I never want people to look at Nick. I want people to see Jesus Christ, because what he saved me from was hell. What he saved me from was death. What he saved me from was so black, dark, devilish, demonic, right? What he saved me from, he brought me into the light, and he brought me into his family, and I did nothing for it. I didn't deserve it. The only right that I had was the human right to know Jesus. That's it. Everybody has one right in life. One right, a human right, the human right to know Jesus Christ. That's your right.
Yes.
When you were born, you were born into sin. And once you were born into sin, there was nothing could be done for you except for the day that you make the choice to turn from your wicked ways, whatever those wicked ways are, because some people have a pretty good-looking life. They're not alcoholics. They're not drug addicts. They're not murderers. They're not thieves. They're not this, but they're still born into sin.
Right.
So no matter if you're that person, or no matter if you're the person that really, really needs Jesus because you are hell-bent and a death wish, right?
Yes.
The Lord birthed in me and placed in me a fire to evangelize and preach the gospel. And it's only through the Holy Spirit. It's only, Cherie, you know it. The Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, what Jesus laid out for us in the Great Commission is an impossible dream. But with the Holy Spirit, with his power, with his anointing, and when I say power, I mean dunamis power, that dynamite power that breaks the yokes of bondage, that tells people, wow, there is something happening in my heart right now. There is this person that is speaking, that's not him or her speaking. That's something that I've never encountered before. What is that? What is that? What am I listening to? Who is it? Right? Because we know it's not a one, but a who. And the Lord at that point is using you to break down walls, to set the captives free, for the hurt, for the walls to come down, for their guard to drop, for us to be in a place of submission, or even a place of a softer, more receiving place where the blinders may be off our eyes at that point, where we're saying, wow, this is real. I've never heard anything like this before. What happened to me on February 25th, 1996 was just that. I never heard anybody preach the gospel like this guy. He was a pastor from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was sitting in the back of the church. I was on 7 or 8 drugs. I didn't know what was going on. The guy's face was melting off his body, running up and down the aisle and jumping back on his body. And I was like, man, what is going on right now? Yes. Because I was doing a lot of drugs. And what happened, Cherie, was I heard the word of the Lord. The gospel was being preached in its fullness. It was unadulterated. Man, I will tell you what, God was overtime. I was in his hands, and he was working me overtime. And at the end of that service, the man came up to me, and he said, take your sunglasses off. You're high right now. And I said, you're right, I am. I broke down. I was crying. I was weeping. I was sobbing. I was wailing. I was literally crying out to God at that moment. I didn't know what was happening, but the man said to me, do you want to be delivered? And I said, I want to be delivered. And he said, don't tell me, boy, tell him. And he pointed up, and I looked up, and I said, God, I want to be delivered. I want to be free. And the guy put his hand on my head, and I felt like every Marvel Universe superhero was hitting me with their superpowers. That's what it felt like.
My God.
Like the end, like Endgame.
My goodness.
And I looked. I opened my eyes. I had no idea what happened to me. I opened my eyes, and I was laying on the floor looking at the drop ceiling, and my mother, this sweet, beautiful little Italian woman, looking at me, and she goes, you've been out for 10 minutes. I said, what? And my father was right there, and he picked me up, my earthly father, and he whispered in my ear while he was hugging me, it's all over.
My God. My
Sheree,
God.
At that moment, I was sober, and I had no desire in me at all to do drugs ever again.
That is very powerful, and you know God has... He has a way of dealing with us uniquely and individually, tailor-made for each and every one of us that wants and desires him. And so, you know, you may be saying to yourself, if you're listening, well, how come it didn't happen like that for me? Well, like
That's
I said,
right.
Everybody's different. And, you know, sometimes more powerful the deliverance, the more powerful, you know, way he's going to use you. I don't know, but all I know is that I want you to minister to people who want to accept Christ when I come back from this music break, and then we're going to close out the show. So hold that thought, and I'm going to play a little bit of Better Than Good to Me by Lanessa Sellers Scott.
Said he's been sober. God, it's been so good.
Lord, hey. You've been good enough. You've been better than good to me.
God has had my back in the midst of my enemies, and I ain't even have to be there.
Somebody represented you in the wrong way. I call on you, Lord,
for the souls
that were lost.
Hey, because some child watching mama run from pillar to pillar.
There you have it. That was Better Than Good to Me by LaNeza Sellers Scott. Beautiful song. You are listening to Talk to Me Radio. This is Sheree Humphrey. I am continuing the conversation with Nick Agneto, and I'm going to click him back in. Hello?
Hi, Sheree. Hello.
Hi. Well, you're back on, and, you know, Nick, everything you said just touched me so much because there's some things that I did not know about you. Even still, I mean, I know that I left New Beginnings not too long after I finished the 2 years of the leadership school. And
right.
Coming from that trip. So I hadn't seen you until me and my mother were going to vote, and we walked by
right.
you, and I think I maybe seen you once before then at Westside Pizza.
Oh, yeah,
and,
Westover Pizza, yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a long time, and a lot has transpired in both of our lives, and that is a very, very powerful story. And, you know, experience, not just a story, but an experience. And, you know, I can recall having that zeal for the Lord and the things of God, et cetera, you know. And I say recall because I don't feel, you know, it's like when you're in love with someone and versus someone who loves who they with, but you're not in love. I feel like that, like I don't know how to get that zeal back because I've been through so much trauma just in the last 15 years alone. And so it did some things to me, you know, and so, you know, I don't know, it's done a lot of things. But
I feel like this is what a great opportunity you have here with this radio show and, you know, just by stepping out.
Thank you.
You know, Sheree, you have such a powerful voice and you are a woman of faith. And I want to see the Lord because the Lord's been faithful to you. So I want to see you as you do open your mouth for him and continue to share the gospel, continue to allow the Lord to use you in that capacity. And I believe that that's where the zeal comes from. You don't let those things, you got to step through that door like you were talking about. Step through the door and continue walking forward. And as you do, that fire just burns brighter and brighter. You should actually hang out with Heat Miser, not Snow Miser.
Oh, my God. You such a joke. Nick, I was not expecting that one.
I know, sorry. I couldn't help it.
Yes, that's okay. Yes, the zeal that I do continue to have is to spread the good news by doing this show. And that is the one thing that I have hung on to in the last 12 years, rather. I've hung on to this, you know, it's been a long time, you know, so I want you, though, to minister to someone who might want to accept Christ before we end the show.
Sure, no problem. So for those of you that are listening, I don't believe that my words carry weight, unless they're the words of the Lord. And what I mean by that is that the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts through the bone and marrow and the soul and spirit. And what I mean by that is the word of God starts to show you. He sees you, right? You're transparent like glass before him. He knows your innermost thoughts. He sees what you're going through. He sees the tears you cry at 3 a.m. He sees the things that you go through at your job, at your home, within your family. Maybe you're solo. Maybe you're by yourself. But God sees you. He knows every hair on your head. Pay attention to what I'm saying to you. It's important for you to realize the wages which sin pays is death. That's not where you want to end up. Because when I say death, I mean that people literally physically die and they get separated from God. Our desire for you, our prayer for you, is that you would know the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He died on the cross for your sicknesses. And he came to set you free. That is the truth of the gospel. Because it's a free gift of God, you will receive eternal life through your union with Jesus Christ. Very, very powerful. You have to understand this. God shows and clearly proves his love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, died for us. He died for us. Earlier I was talking about faith. And you have to realize that's
yes.
a statement. That's a statement of faith. Attention to me. It's not something that you could wrap your head around. It's something that you have to step out of your comfort zone and say, Jesus, you are Lord. You confess this with your lips. Jesus, you are Lord. Now, with confessing Jesus as Lord, you also have to believe in your heart that that is truth. That God raised Jesus from the dead. And pay attention now. This is not a prayer that you just say and you think that it's like it's going to fix everything. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you could be in your closet. You could be in your living room. You could be in your car. You could be on the edge of a bridge. Doesn't matter where you are. You could be in your cubicle at work. You confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You believe in your heart that it is true, and you will be saved. That doesn't make things peachy keen. It doesn't make things A-okay. It doesn't all of a sudden transform your life into a winter wonderland, dancing with Frosty the Snowman, and all of these beautiful things that are happening during Christmas. Listen, right, Cherie? You know what I'm talking about. Listen.
Yes, I know.
You're going to go through trials and you're going to go through tribulations, but now you've got the living God, the star-breathing God, the God that called creation into existence with his words in your corner. He's like Mickey with Rocky in your corner. He's the one that is going to bring you through, but you got to start somewhere. Jesus Christ is not a bully, and he is not a brawler. He is a gentleman. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He is just waiting for you to answer. And for some of you listening, he's been doing it for quite some time. So I pray in the name of Jesus that your eyes would be opened and your ears would hear that this is the truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is your way to eternal salvation with God the Father to live for eternity. That's a long time. In heaven, forever and ever. Pray that the people that are listening would confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. and believe in their heart. And let it be today,
Amen.
Father. Today is the
Amen.
Day of salvation. So we pray right now, and Sheree and I agree, that you would have peace in your home, that you would have
yes,
salvation
Lord.
Come to your home, that you would have healing
yes.
come to your home. And, Father,
Amen.
We pray
yes.
that faith would rise up in the ears of the listeners in the name of Jesus,
name
that
of Jesus.
They would come to know
yes.
you, that they would know you, God, that they would know you, Father, Father, Abba, Father, Yeshua, and Holy Spirit. May they make you Lord of their life. Be with them. All those that are within the sound of my voice, God, surround them during this time. For the people that have lost loved ones recently, that are going through terminal illnesses, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the peace of the Lord to come upon
them. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And God, that their hardened hearts would be softened now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, thank you so much, Nick. It has been a total, total pleasure. I appreciate you coming on. It's an
thank
honor.
You.
It was just meant to be that my mother just started talking to you, and I was like, who is she talking to now?
Yes.
I'm like, look.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and so I saw it was you. I was like, oh, my goodness. But
yes.
So, you know, you have a happy holiday, you and your new
you
family.
Too. Merry Christmas, Sheree.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And, you know, enjoy yourself this week and stay in touch.
I look forward to another show.
All right, wonderful. Definitely, definitely. We
yeah,
can talk about
go.
That because got all of February till December of next year. That's still
beautiful.
Open. So, yep.
All right.
Yep.
God bless you.
But God bless. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was Nick Agneto. We had Nick Kelly on first. Just an awesome and very, very touching, blessed show. And I am going to take us out. I'm not going to say the names because we have stopped streaming, and it is already 8 o'clock. So I will not do the names on tonight. But I wish you all a happy Hanukkah, a Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa. Be blessed. Be safe. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself with your families or your friends. And I will be back on next year, God willing, and tune in. I thank you, everyone, who has supported in any way through 2022, and I'm hoping and praying for a even better year of Talk to Me Radio in 2023. So share this with someone who might need it or enjoy it. Pass the link on. It could be sent to anyone anywhere in the world. God bless you, and I'm taking us out with, let's see, Let It Snow by Boyz II Men.
Let it snow. Holiday. Yeah.